afternoon. I want to introduce the sermon talking about something in the recent history of Chile. In 2019, in October, we had a social outbreak. Violence, riots, churches and public buildings in fire. We still don't know who began all that, but the president of Chile once said, "We are at war." And that was very strong words from our president. Now I came to you with the same words. We are at war. Please stand to read in the Word of God in Deuteronomy chapter 7. The inerrant word of the Lord say, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriage with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thou shalt ye deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repay them that hate him in their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hate him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgment which I command thee this day to do them. Therefore, it shall come to pass, if ye hearken this judgment and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware into thy fathers, and he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thy kine, and the flock of thy sheep, in the land which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt not bless above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you, you among your cattle, or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shall thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the things and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them, until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted of them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee for a little and a little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction, until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shall thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Let's pray. Lord, you have given a mission for us. You are the creator of everything. All the nations belong to you, and you will take all the nations to be your servants. And you want we work in that mission. We must conquer the land. Teach us how to do that. Teach us to follow Christ in his work, in his mission, that your Holy Spirit talk to us this afternoon through your word. In the name of Christ, amen. Please be seated. These are strong words to read. This chapter is used by atheist people to say that the Lord is an evil God, a genocide. How could God command Israel to destroy the men, women, children who live in Canaan? We have to learn a lot of things in this chapter of Scripture. In Deuteronomy, God is teaching Israel how to conquer the land where they will live their lives. The first chapters of Deuteronomy, Moses is teaching Israel the history of what the Lord has made with them from the beginning to the desert, because now they are at the doors of Canaan. Now they are ready to enter to the promised land. And they must remember always that the Lord has been good to them and is the Lord who has taken care of them and is the Lord who will put them in the promised land. In chapter 5, we have Moses repeating the Ten Commandments to this new generation of Israelites. These are not the same people who came out of Egypt. These are their sons. And Moses repeats them, the Ten Commandments, the law of the Lord. In chapter 6, Moses begins an exposition of the commandments. And he begins, of course, with the first commandment. We have some famous words in chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord of God, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Shema, the confession of faith of Israel. So chapter 7 is a continuation of this. He is still explaining the first commandment, the instruction on how to conquer this land must be understood in the context of worship. The Lord, our God, is one Lord. He is the only God that must be worshipped. Israel must conquer the land because the Lord must be worshipped there. So, my first point is that Israel must conquer the land, destroying the seed of the serpent. I talk about the seed of the serpent because these are the words that we find in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The Lord say, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Lord is taking to the serpent, and he talk about two seeds. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. From Genesis, we see that all the people in the world is divided in two groups of people. That who obeyed and served the Lord, and that group that they don't serve the Lord. And we see that going through the book of Genesis, the flood came because of this both group mixed, and there was no more people worshiping God. And the same happened with the sons of Noah. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, we read, "And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." So, between the sons of Noah, we find that because of the sin of Canaan, Canaan and the son of Canaan will be cursed by God. And the world, again, is divided in these two kind of people. In 1 Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 4, we read, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In verse 8, the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. And in verse 13 to 16, and Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite also, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Semarite, and the Amadite. These names are the same names that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 7. I show this because this is a cursed people because of the sin of their fathers and their own sins. This is not good people. This is not holy people. The Lord is not commanding to destroy them, even if they are good people. No, these are very bad people. They are not innocent. They are rebels. In Genesis chapter 15, the Lord said, "But in the fourth generation, they shall come either again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." When the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, and he promised the land, Canaan, he said, "You will not, or your sons will not go in there directly now, because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." Now, in the time of Deuteronomy chapter 7, their iniquity is full. And that is very clear. They sacrifice their own sons, their children, to their gods. Brothers, if we are believers, and if we are in Christ, we are part of the seed of the woman in Christ. But there is a lot of people who is the seed of the serpent, and we will not have peace with them. The world, the seed of the serpent, hate the church. They hate Christ. And we can see that. Maybe we can think, well, what we see here in the United States is very different of what Israel see in the Canaanites. But let me tell you, it's not so different. We don't see here the fathers burn their children to their gods. But that happened. That happened in clinics. thousands of children are killed. They are sacrifices to false gods here in the United States and all over the world. Our cultures are not so different. The Canaanites were the more evil people, and God, when he must them destroy, he is making his people safe. And he is making their children safe. I always told to the young people in my church, never, never date a woman who believes that abortion is right. Your sons are in danger. They worship other gods, and that lead to the worst forms of worship. They worship other gods, false gods, and that lead to the worst kind of worship. Men know by natural knowledge that fellowship with God requires death. That's the reason why the Canaanites sacrificed their children. They want to have fellowship with their God. They want the blessing of their God. Someone have to die. And they kill their own children. We know, because of the scripture say, that the wages of sin are dead. But the Lord, our God, is so good to us that he don't let us kill our own children. He sent his own children. And he put his wrath upon him to have fellowship with us, because he loved his people. So, a big question is not why the Lord command his people to destroy the men, the women, and the children of Canaan. The big question is why he don't kill Israel in the same way. Because they are sinners too. But it's because of his mercy, his grace, his love for his people. Israel not just must destroy the people in Canaan, they must destroy the idols that they have there. False worship lead to the worst of man. The main reason to destroy these people was not this man's DNA or the race. The main reason to kill them was their idolatrous heart. Their evil heart corrupted by false worship. So the only safe option for Israel was not just kill the people, but destroy the idols that lead to that evil. Brothers, we are at war. False worship, false gods are everywhere. We are at war with, first, with our own heart, because idolatry is inside us. We don't make images and kneel before them, but we see our idols in the mirror. A lot of times we are our own gods. We live first for us. We live and work to our desires. Even we put good things as our idols, our family, our health. We have to make war, to kill the sin inside us. Because idolatry, and to break the first table of the law, will always lead to break the second table. Second, we are at war against the world around us. We live in countries that are in a rebellion state against the only true God. Our governments are against God. The society around us is against God. Tomorrow you can turn your TV and you will see that all day. You will see that society and your culture is against God. And we must be soldiers in this war. We don't just have to live separated of the world. That's not enough. You don't need to buy a space in the desert and live there together. That's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants, desire, and command that you live in the middle of the world and be salt and light in the world. We must conquer this land, all the nations of the earth for the Lord. Psalm 110 talk about the Lord of David. The Lord of David is Jesus Christ. And Psalm 110 talk about the king, and he is to the priest. And in verse 3, that psalm say, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, do have the dew of thy youth. Thy people, that people that is willing to go with the king at war, is all the Christians, must be all the Christians. We must be willing to fight together with Christ, to be in his cause. Jesus Christ is our mediatorial king who will lead us in our war for his worship, for his glory. In Matthew 28, we find the New Covenant version of this command, of the chapter. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So the Lord Jesus Christ is giving to the church the same mission that he gives to the Israelites in the doors of Canaan. Take the land. Take the land, but now take all the land. Take all the nations. Teach them. Baptize them. Teach all the things that I have teach to you. So now we have a war, different war, but we are at war. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought of the obedience of Christ. We need to take all thinking, all philosophy, all society that is against God, and take it for the Lord. But he not just give us a command to let's go and fight. He said that he will go with us. And because of that, the victory is sure. In Habakkuk chapter 2, we find our hope. Who to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity? Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? For the herd shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. We are at war, but we know the end of this war. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will fill all the nations of this earth. I came from one of the more far countries in the United States. I came from the very south of America. And the Lord said that between the United States and the south in Chile, in all our nations, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will fill the earth. But Israel must learn that just to take these people away is not enough. To kill these people is not enough. To destroy their idols is not enough. They have to live as the son of the woman. They have to live in holiness. They must be a holy people unto the Lord. How to do that? First, they must understand the love of the Lord. See in verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all the people. So Israel was not a big country. they were not a country where you want to live or you want to visit. They were poor people. They see another nations around them, they fear. Because they were not a military people, nation. Economics was not good too. If you read the book of Exodus and read what they do in the desert after the Lord take them out of Egypt, you will see that they were not a holy, saints, people. So the Lord said to them that he don't choose them, don't love them because of them, but just because of him. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number, but because the Lord loved you. And because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. There is no other reason why we are part of the church, why we are loved by God, why the Lord care of us, why the Lord love us. I can't understand that. But because love got me, because it's part of his being to love his people, because he loves us unconditionally, because he is a faithful God that make a swear, an oath to love us. He himself is the reason of his love and his election. That understanding the love, the unconditional love of God, is key to live as the people of God. So if we believe that the Lord loves us because of us, because of our works, or even because of our faith, we will not live in holiness because we will live for us. Israel must understand, too, that this unconditional love of the Lord have requirements for them. The Lord don't say, I will love you and you can stay and you can do whatever you want. No. The Lord said you must be holy. Verse 9 say, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generation. He keep covenant and mercy with everyone? No. He keep covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. That is what requires of us. That's the way that we must live. We are saved by grace. But we are saved to good works. We are saved to live for God and make what he commands us. Just in that way, we will conquer the land. I remember last year, people talk about a revival here in the United States. And I talked to the church in Chile. We will not see a revival in a nation full of sinners that don't want to be holy. Revival will come when the church wants and desires with all their heart to be holy. And the Lord will be good with us when we decide to be in holiness all our lives, keep His commandment, love Him with all our heart. He will be faithful and He will keep His covenant and mercy with His holy people. And you can read verse 12 to 16. The mercies of the covenant. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to this judgment and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which He sware unto thy fathers. And He will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of the kine and the flock of the sheep, and the land which He sware unto thy fathers to give them. These blessings are the blessing of the covenant, are the blessing of our faithful God. But He will send these mercies when we live in holiness. How to do that? I remember my life, I made continually covenant with God to be holy. But I find myself that I broke my covenant once and again. The Lord wants that we understand the perfection of His love for us. That will be the only way. If we try to be holy in our own efforts, in our own strong, we will never be saints. We will never be holy. Just remember His love. If thou shalt say, verse 17, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Israel was going to war with strong nations, much more bigger than them. And of course, they will see these armies and they could think, oh, I'm small. I hope United States never declare war against Chile because we have nothing to do. That will happen to Israel in this time. But the Lord one day remembered that He is powerful, that He is strong. Verse 18 say, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. Don't have fear. You are at war. You see television and you see the wars of the philosophy of the world. You see what the young people is doing. You see the abortions. You see that the churches are small. And you see that unfaithful churches are full of people. And you can think, What can we do? We are a small church. We are a small group of people. The world is so powerful. But the Lord wants you to remember what He did in Egypt. Egypt was the more powerful country, nation in His time. Like United States. Israel was a very small group in this nation. Pharaoh was the more powerful man in the world. And Israel just goes out walking. They don't have rifles, canyons. They just go out walking because of the Lord was strong, because the Egyptians feared the Lord and say, just go, please, just go, don't let your God continue to destroy us. And even when Pharaoh tried to take them again, the Lord opened the sea and closed it on them and destroyed them. Because the Lord is powerful. We are weak people. But the Lord is not. He is strong. He has a strong hand, a strong arm. And if he promised victory to His church, if He promised victory to His Son, we will see that victory. We will see the nations of this planet worshiping the Lord. But He don't want that the church compromise. Destroy the images. Put them in fire. Don't see the gold. Don't see the silver. Don't keep that things. Could be good for us. But destroy them. Don't depend on that things. But depend on Me, say the Lord. Don't bring these statues, these images to your houses. Don't let the false worship came to your houses. Hate idolatry because it is a cursed thing. Brothers, we begin the war that we are, as a people of God, thinking about worship. Because it's in worship where the Lord will change this world. The Lord don't want or don't have a military army. He has us. He has the church. He has the government of the church. He has the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. He has the sacraments, the means of grace. These are our weapons. And with the preaching of the gospel, with the church, being church, that the world will be changed. We have to be holy. We have to live as children of light. Not just fight against idolatry, but practicing the pure worship. We have to be holy in our worship, in our lives. Our houses must be holy places. or teaching to our children must be holy. Our conversations must be holy. Our personal, family, public worship must be holy. We have to hear the Lord's commands and practice them. Because if we are not holy, we are calling the curse of God to our families, to our nations, to our church. So, we are not called to wage physical war today in God's name. What this chapter teaches us? This chapter teaches that we are in a spiritual war against sin, against idolatry, against the serpent, Satan. The Lord give us our weapons, the church, the gospel, the preaching, church government, the means of grace, the sacrament. The Lord give us his son, the Lord of David, the mediatorial king, Jesus Christ, to be your commander in his war. And with him, we are safe. We must follow him. We must follow his instructions. Be holy. And this war, sooner or later, will be win. And the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth. From north to South America, from west to east, the name of the Lord will be glorified. Our kings, our presidents, our governments will serve the Lord. They will kiss the Son. We will see the Sabbath, keep it. We will hear the singing of the Psalms everywhere. Because the church will conquer the land, this land, and every land in this planet. Let's pray. Please stand. Lord, war is a strong word. Probably all of us don't want to be at war. War is ugly. But in this case, it's necessary. Because you are the only God. And you deserve the glory of the men. You deserve to be worshipped. You deserve to be glorified. Because you are the creator of everything. There is no God like you. No one can compare with you. No God can compete with you. Because you are the only true and living God. And you create everything for you. Lord, help us to be useful in your hands, to bring glory to your name. Help us to destroy the idols in our heart, in this society, showing them the beauty of the holiness. Life in fellowship with you is so much better than life without you. We only have real comfort, counsel, and peace in our heart living in fellowship with you. Help us to show to the world that you deserve all the glory. Help this church, our church in Chile, and every church, a real church, to change the heart of the people, to change our cities and our nations to you, that through the preaching of the gospel, they came to you. You say to your disciples, Christ said to the disciples, all power is given to me, so go. And you will testify about me until the end of the world. Help us to see the knowledge of the glory of God filling all of nations. Make us understand your great love for us, unconditional love for us. And that your love give us strongness that lead to a hard work for Christ. Let us worship our King. And